श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौ गोबर श्याम कुंड राधापति की जय गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय गंगा मोहन तुलसी पति देवी की जय अनंत गौरी वैष्णव वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय गौ प्रेमानंदी ऑल लॉर्ड्स के समल होरि ऑल लॉर्ड्स के समल होरि ऑल लॉर्ड्स के समल होरि ऑल लॉर्ड्स श्री गुरु श्री गुरु गौ लॉर्ड्स के समल ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नमो विष्णुराय विष्णु सर्वदेव श्रीमद् भगवत् स्वामी के नाम ने नमस्ते ही सरस्वती देव गौरवाणी प्रचारण नरवशेष निवारि पाशाचलेश तरणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निजानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण बाबा ज्ञान भाषा प्रणाम स्पोर तस्य पीहा वा आत्मजस्य विप्रह पुत्र स्नेह अनुपद मना आसम आवर्तना संस्कार यथोपदश्यम दिलदान उपनीतस्य च पुनः सौचाक्षमनादीन कर्मनियमान् अनभिप्रेत्यानपि समशिक्षया अनुशिष्टेन हि भाव्यं पितुः पुत्रैरपि. Translation: The Brahman father's mind was always filled with affection for his son Jadavara. Therefore he was always attached to Jadavara, because Jadavara was unfit to enter the Grihastha ashram. He simply executed purgatory process up to the end of the Brahmacharya ashram. Although Jadavara was unwilling to accept his father's instructions, the Brahmana nonetheless instructed him in how to keep clean and how to wash, thinking that the son should be taught by the father. Prabhupada Jadavara was Bharat Maharaj in the body of a Brahmana, and he outwardly conducted himself as if he were dull, deaf, dumb, and blind. Actually, was quite alert within. He knew perfectly well of the results of fruitive activity, the results of devotional service in the body of a Brahmana. Maharaj Bharat was completely absorbed in devotional service within. Therefore, it was not at all necessary for him to execute the regulative principles of fruitive activity, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sunushitasya dharmasya samsudhir hari toshanam. One has to satisfy Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection of the regulator principles of fruitive activity. Besides that, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, duties executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. These karmakanda activities are required as long as one has not developed Krishna consciousness. If one is developed in Krishna consciousness, there is no need to execute the prior regulator principles of karmakanda. Srila Madhavendra Puri said, "O regulator principles of karmakanda, please excuse me, I cannot follow all these regulator principles, for I am fully engaged in devotional service." He expressed a desire to sit somewhere beneath a tree and continue chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Consequently, he did not execute all the regulator principles. Similarly, Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family. From the very beginning of his life, he was never trained in the karmakanda system, but because he was always chanting the holy name of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as an Amacharya, the authority in chanting the holy name. As Bharat Maharaj was always engaged in devotional service within his mind. Since he had executed the regulator principles, continuous for three lives, he was not interested in continuing to execute them, although his Brahmin father wanted him to do so. Jadavara behaved before his father like a fool, despite his father's adequately instructing him in Vedic knowledge. He behaved in such a way that the father would know that he was unfit for instruction, would abandon the attempt to instruct him further. He would behave in a completely opposite way. Although instructed to wash his hands after evacuating, he washed them before, nonetheless the father. His father wanted to give him Vedic instructions during the spring and summer. He tried to teach him the Gayatri Mantra along with Omkar and Jahrati, but after 4 months, his father still was not successful in instructing him. The Brahmin father, Jatpura, considered his son his heart and soul, and therefore he was very attached to him. He thought it wise to educate his son properly, and being absorbed in this unsuccessful endeavor, he tried to teach his son the rules and regulations of brahmacharya etiquette, including the execution of Vedic vows, claiming the study of the Vedas, regulated methods, service to the spiritual master, and the method of offering a fire sacrifice. He tried his best to teach his son in this way, but all his endeavors failed. In his heart, he hoped that his son would be a learned scholar, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. Like everyone, this Brahmin was attached to his home, and he had forgotten that somehow, someday he would die. Death, however, was not forgetful. At the proper time, death appeared and took him away. Therefore, those too attached to family life who forget that death comes in the future to take them away become attached and unable to finish their duty as human beings. The duty of human life is to solve all the problems of life, but instead people remain attached to family affairs and duties. Although they forget death, death will not forget them. Suddenly they will be kicked off the platform of a peaceful family life. One may forget that he has to die, but death never forgets. Death always comes, always at the right time. The Brahmana father of Jadvara wanted to teach his son the process of brahmacharya, but he was unsuccessful due to his son's unwillingness to undergo the process of Vedic advancement. Jadbharat was simply concerned with returning home back to Godhead by executing devotional service through sadhana, kirtan, and Vishnu. He did not care for the Vedic instruction of his father. When one is fully interested in the service of the Lord, he does not need to follow all the regulative principles enunciated in the Vedas. Of course, for an ordinary man, the Vedic principles are imperative. No one can avoid them. But when one has attained the perfection of devotional service, it is not very important to follow the Vedic principles. Lord Krishna advised Arjuna to ascend to the platform of Nistraigunya, a transcendental position above the Vedic principles. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of three modes of material nature. Rise above three modes, of Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties, regain a safety, and be established in the self. Therefore, the Brahmana's younger wife, after entrusting her two children, the boy and girl, to the elder, departed for Pati Loka, voluntary dying with her husband. So, this is again a narrative of what happened to Jatvarant in his education. So, here is explained that he did not care to be educated by his father, though he was capable of doing so because he was very intelligent. So he acted as if he could not understand what his father said or even hear him. He would not speak. He would not chant the mantras. He would not study. He did everything backwards in terms of cleanliness and whatever. So he acted as if he were a complete fool. At the same time, this was only an act because his determination was simply to avoid contact with the material world, attachment to his parents or his relatives, and to be absorbed in thinking of the Supreme Lord at all times. So this external appearance was very misleading for even his father. Of course, his father was very attached to him. Jadvara didn't respond very well to that. So father was attached to him and wanted to raise him up nicely so he could take care of himself and act as a young brahmana. But Jadvara wasn't interested in that at all. So he didn't respond to that affection of his father by doing as he said, cooperating with them. And he did the exact opposite. So that indicates that his attachment for the Supreme Lord was much greater than his attachment for his father or his mother or anybody else. Very, very strong attachment. And all this was due to the fact that he had experience in previous life of the dangers of material attachment. So what to speak of being attached to a deer, if he became attached to his father or a brother or a wife or a sister or whatever, or a child, then again he would be put into problems and fail. So he wanted to avoid that completely, and therefore he avoided all of these. The other point is that if one is engaged in devotional service, then These other rituals and activities are not considered very important. And Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur. He was not part of the Vedic system because he was born a Muslim, so he was not allowed to participate in anything. Nor did he try to imitate at all those activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered him Acharya because of the exalted social status as a devotee and his chanting of the holy name. And so he did not partake of any of the Vedic rituals or customs or anything. And at the same time, he got the highest respect from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that shows that bhakti and chanting the name and the status of a devotee is completely separate from one's position in Vedic society, in the varnas and ashramas and rituals, etc. And of course the other example is Madhavendra Puri, who said, now that I remember Krishna, I must forget everything else. I have no attraction for doing Sandhya Vandana or Tarpanas Vipitras, etc., which are the daily rites of a person in the three upper varnas in the varnashram system. And if you don't do these things, you're considered sinful. But Madhavendra Puri says, goodbye, I don't want to do these things anymore. So farewell, Tarpanas, farewell, Sandhya Vandana. I no longer want to do these rituals anymore because I'm thinking of the Supreme Lord and bliss. So in other words, when the bliss of engagement in the Lord's service is strong, naturally the attraction for other things will be weak. So though the Vedic rituals are all there and they are approved by the Lord also, nevertheless they are considered secondary, like other things, to bhakti. And therefore the Lord says, I don't care for dharma, jnana, sankhya, yoga, whatever. I care for devotion. So if one partakes of devotion, it is not sinful to give up these other activities, though normally a person, if he gives them up, he's considered sinful. But if one is a devotee and gives those activities up, then he's not considered sinful. So therefore the position of bhakti is higher than all the other yogas and principles mentioned in the Vedic literature. It is an independent process. At the same time, of course, the devotee does not deliberately contradict everything, as in the case of Bharat here. Jat Bharat, he just did everything opposite, just to show that he was completely ignorant. So generally, the devotees do not oppose the Vedic system purposely, but they will simply not agree to follow those elements which are contrary to bhakti, such as worshipping the devatas, etc. Or if they worship the devatas, they will do it with the understanding that they are simply servants of the Supreme Lord. So they don't deliberately obstruct the Vedic process also, and they partake of it as much as convenient. But where it is contrary, and where it is an obstacle to their service, then they may reject. It may become an obstacle when it becomes too time-consuming, and they would rather do devotional things. So that is the case of Madhavendra Puri. He was not a Muslim or anything, so he partook of the system already. But yet, at a certain point, he became so blissful and engaging in meditation on the Lord and doing devotional activities that he no longer had an eagerness to do any of these other activities. So if he said, okay, I don't want to do anymore, no fault. There was no sin in not doing those activities anymore, even though they were not necessarily contrary to bhakti, but they were not direct devotional service, and therefore he preferred to do direct bhakti over those activities. So there's no fault if the devotee does that also. Therefore these are principles. There are other principles, of course, that the devotee does not contradict at all. Because they don't really, these are prohibitions, like committing sinful activities, etc. So it doesn't take time, in one sense, to avoid them. It may take time to do sandhya vandanas or tarpanas, etc. So one can avoid those things. but avoiding sinful activities, etc. These type of things don't take time. So the devotee follow these principles because in devotional service itself, we do have principles like not harming living entities, etc. So therefore, the devotee does not interfere with other living entities, so he minimizes his sinful acts. He avoids sinful acts as much as possible. And so that, of course, is there in the Vedic system with sattvic life also. Minimize the violence, etc. Therefore, the process of bhakti is independent of these other processes, though to some degree the devotee will follow according to his capacity and what is expected of him also in society. But at the same time, he may also reject to some degree. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an interesting example because he did not reject. He took sannyas, which is in the varnas, and he followed the daily rituals as much as possible, what was expected of him. So he did not overcome that under normal circumstances. But then again, he would also break the principles sometimes. He associated with King Prataparudra in spite of the fact that he was not supposed to. And he took food from the house of the Brahmana in Mathura, who was actually an outcast because he was no longer a Brahmana. Subhuti Rai was not a Brahmana to begin with, I don't think, but he was not even in the Vedic system because he was, the Muslims sprinkled water on him, so he was not considered even a Hindu anymore. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was supposed to, as a sannyasi, only take food from Brahmin's houses, but he took from his house even though he was outcast. So Lord Chaitanya also didn't really follow those principles as in certain cases, some of the rules, other rules he would follow to some degree in relation to sannyas, etc., to keep the respect that society gives a sannyas, etc. But nevertheless, on the other hand, Lord Chaitanya again was completely absorbed in chanting the name of the Lord and thinking of the Lord and speaking about the Lord at all times. So that was his main activity. And he was, of course, sannyasis as such are also not so absorbed in the rituals and other activities of the Vedic system. In fact, the sannyasi means to give up fire, to give up the sacrifices, rituals, etc. So to a large degree, they're free of those type of activities and responsibilities as of the Vedic householder. So Bharat Maharaj took the extreme. He didn't take sannyas, he didn't take anything. And he didn't even, he wanted to contradict all these things, impurity, impurity, all these things completely. He didn't want to follow in order to disguise himself and to get condemned by the rest of society so no one would bother him. So he didn't even follow minimum standards at all. He did everything opposite. So this was because of his very, very elevated state. So as I mentioned previously, sometimes when people are in an elevated state, we cannot tell who they are because they do not act in an ordinary way. And so that was the case of Jatpara. He was a great devotee, but he was in disguise, and no one could have detected his great devotional nature, his very, very elevated status, because of his external appearance and conduct, etc. Stop that. Well, as I said, he's not following regular dharma because of his elevated status, that's all. So he disregards all these other things, just like in Krishna himself, and tells lies or whatever, or tells Yudhisthira to tell a lie or whatever, like that. So on a very high level, these things are no longer considered. He considered that his status in relation to the Supreme was the most important thing, so therefore he neglected all these other things. Normally, of course, it is the duty of the son to obey the father, respect the father, give affection to the father, yes. But he said these are material things and they're going to cause attachments. So therefore, he didn't Yeah, well, nobody should tell a lie. Even a sutra is not supposed to tell a lie in society. But he was beyond all of that. Yes, he was deceiving everybody, definitely. but because of this higher purpose, that he didn't want to be disturbed by anybody. We can say the same, Sukadeva also. He disguised himself and everybody mocked him. And the same with Rishabhadeva also. Everybody was throwing things at him. So he disguised himself.
So this rejection of the rules is a natural outcome of their increased devotion to the Lord.
Yeah. As I said, when they reach that level, it is unpredictable what they will do. So they will contradict society. They may not follow the rules of cleanliness, the rules of conduct, the rules of whatever, social etiquette, etc. at all. We see that even in the case of someone like Bhamsi Das Babaji or even Gaurakishore. Gaurakishore was chanting in the latrine. It's impure, and you shouldn't do that in one sense. But he wanted to avoid all other people, so therefore he would go to these dirty places. That's where he would live, so people wouldn't come around him.
What devotional service?
Who? He was meditating on the Lord all the time. Obviously, you could not directly do hearing and chanting and remembering in the normal sense, because if he was chanting and stuff, then people would understand he was a devotee. So he was just silent, he didn't even speak. So he was internally meditating on the Lord at all times.
He was doing everything mentally.
Yep.
So here, something is there. They are Hitti. That he tried to teach him the Gayatri Mantra along with the Omkara and Vaya Hitti. What is the Vaya Hitti?
Burbu Vastava.
Vyaharati.
Yeah, the Vyaharati is the Bhupur Vasvaha, Vyaharati.
So, Maharaj, devotees at a lower level should not frivolously give up these rules.
Huh?
Sometimes what happens is because rules are a little difficult to follow.
Yeah.
So, devotees at low level might decide, okay, anyway, we may not follow these rules.
Which
they
rules?
Many Langas, cleanliness or other things.
Mm-hmm.
Just because out of laziness.
Yeah. Well, in any case, we do not follow the levels that are expected even in Hari Bhakti Vilas or in the Vedic system. If you look there, it's very complicated rules for cleanliness. You have to wash your times, your hands so many times this way, that way, and whatever, this way, like that. Yeah? Your toothbrush has to be this long or this long according to which sakha of the Veda you come in. Huh? So everything has rules to follow in the Vedas, and generally we don't follow all those rules. We follow actually a very minimum of all these rules. And of course, if we go below that, then it's not considered proper. But even then, as I said, that is not the ultimate issue. The ultimate issue is the devotion. So as people advance, they may not follow. They may follow much less and much less and much less because of their attachment to the Lord. It is not purposely they're doing it. It's simply because they're attached to the Lord all the time. So therefore, they forget everything else.
So Maharaj, how do we understand Hari Bhakti Vilas? I mean, the purpose of compiling these rules?
He's simply putting the rules there because those are the Shastric rules in terms of all sorts of things, but basically in relation to deity worship. Standards for deity worship, and of course then we have cleanliness rules and things like that. He doesn't get into the rituals like chanting Gayatri Mantra or samskars or anything like that, but basic things that we need for worshipping the deity. So he quotes the scripture for that. So he's simply taking the scriptural evidence there, which is common for probably Vedic ritual as well, but somewhat simplified in Pancharatra ritual.
So Maharaj, how do we understand now these principles are so complex and very difficult to follow, and these were composed some 0.5 years back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so what, with what objectives? You know, it's already probably only 10-20% of it is being followed.
Well, simply to preserve some sort of standard, that's all. At that time, what standards were, that's all. Now, of course, although sometimes there are commentaries and it says that we do this and we do that, and it's not exactly the same. For instance, he explains so many nyasas, so which he says we don't really do all these things, or mudras, etc. says we don't do all this. The commentary says all this, but in the main text it's there. Because those were common things at that time. So he simply makes a complete compendium, not necessary that we follow everything.
Initiation, he transforms. trying to get it more Mahamudra. Before initiation, he was not getting normal student side. After initiation, he was jumping up and down. Going to achieve a new speed reach and getting the chakra.
Well, of course, he's the Supreme Lord according to pastimes, then in certain periods of life he does different things, that's all. So he acted as a normal child up to a certain point, and then after his initiation, then he acted as a great devotee, that's all. Yeah, so that is to illustrate the power of chanting actually. And the production of prema.
Does it mean that chanting was more intense of initiation?
No, that is only to show that once he became a Vaishnava, then he transformed. Because the initiation was not giving him Hare Krishna mantra actually, it was the chanting of the name which was completely different from that. But getting initiation was another mantra. But he was chanting the name, that's separate, which is probably given by him also, but it's not mentioned directly. That's everyone can chant.
But why he was coming in something that
the Lord Chaitanya? Not to Lord Chaitanya. For chanting Hare Krishna? No.
No, he rejected the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for doing the mantra of the sutras.
He didn't.
Pranama
mantra, that there's no objection to that. Ramanuja's guru objected because he gave another mantra. He gave a Diksha mantra to everybody, which is not Hare Krishna. It was a secret mantra he gave out. So that was criticized by his guru, Ramanuja's guru. But Lord Chaitanya simply chanted Hare Krishna, nobody criticized that. No, it's not secret.
And he said that I cannot give this Hare Krishna, it's like Hare Rama, Hare Rama, starting with Hare Rama.
Yeah. Well, that, there's a story like that, but how scriptural is, we don't know. I suppose because it says in the Vedas, you could not, the sutras, it's not secret, but the sutras could not chant the Vedas, and it's in the Upanishad, so therefore, but it's not secret. But because it's part of Veda, then the sutras should not chant it. Or less than the sutras. Smarana.
Yeah.